Okay. Just a addendum from last time. I mentioned I didn't know what Rabbi Willett would say if you had a situation where it was a true Re'ias Yom Rishon, like not just a kasev, not just Damanid Bedika, but she actually had a Re'ia, a flow, sometime during Rosh Hashanah. Would you be Makil? Because Rabbi Willett thinks that our mochs aren't really a moch. Could he really rely on the Ramah? So he said it's hard to be Machriya. He wouldn't be Machriya. He said it's not Pasha to be Makil. He didn't say he would be Machmir either. But he said it never happens because of the reasons that we said. He said it. He never had that Shaila. Truth is, I just about had that Shaila 2 weeks ago. But maybe it was just about, but not actually. Because again, usually if you're going to have a flow, you're not going to get a good Hefsek Tara on that very same day. Okay. So, let's begin. So, the other thing that our Sif mentions before beginning Shiva Nekiyim is that the woman should be Rochatzes. What's the reason for this? So the Taras HaShlamim says that after you missed your Hara, twice in a row. After the Gemar Veses, so she tends to be dirty, and if she doesn't wash, we won't know if the Ksamim came from before or after the Hefsek Tara. Now, let's say you see something afterwards. Now, you could actually say this one of two ways, either because we're not told in the first 3 days, and therefore she might find something which is actually not a problem because it came from beforehand, before Hefsek Tara, but she's going to have to be Machmir. Or you could also say that even in cases where we would be Tola, but we don't want to incorrectly be Tola on being before. So that's why you should wash. Those are the reasons why you should wash before beginning the Shiva Nekiyim. Now, when you read the Lashon of the Ramban, the Shulchan Aruch, it sort of sounds like she should wash her whole body. The Chachmas Adam says that's not really necessary. It's enough to wash those places which are likely to have blood on it from her damnida. But it doesn't have to be your whole body. And even though this is a very good etzah, you should do this, we paskin it's not ma'akev. If for some reason she couldn't wash herself, she should still begin her shiva nekiyim. It's definitely not ma'akev. Even though, again, there are some poskim who say she shouldn't start her shiva nekiyim until she does that, it's very hard to know chadish dinim that don't appear in shas. So now the Shach does point out in Siman Kuf Tzadi Tesef Katan Yud Beis that one should do this even on Shabbos, and even though we said that generally speaking you shouldn't bathe on Shabbos, that's Rechitzas Kol Gufo, but Rov Gufo. But this is just a smaller area, so it's no problem to do on Shabbos, and you could even do it with Chamin and Shochmo Be'arav Shabbos if you could figure out a way to do that. You could take water from the urn or something like that, so that it would be warm, and the like. Likewise, we paskin that you should do this on Tisha B'Av or on Yom Kippur, because this isn't rechitza shel hana, that's aser, and therefore, if she could do, if she could do Hefsek Tara on Tisha B'Av, then she may, and she could wash that area before doing her Hefsek Tara, even on Tisha B'Av. There's a Ramah, there's a whole discussion in Hochos Avelos about, there's a Ramah that might sound like she shouldn't do this, even this during Avelos, and we don't accept that. Doesn't make any sense, because while she can't be Toveles and Mutares during the Shiva, because it's in the Sertashmish, but there's no reason why she couldn't start her Shiva Nekiyim, and therefore there should be no reason why she shouldn't do this small Rechitza, so as to facilitate the Shiva Nekiyim. Okay. Now, there's an interesting question, though, that this... Yes?
What about doing it early in the case of Tisha B'Av?
You could, but let's say she's still bleeding the morning of... or she's continuing to bleed.
Would it be better?
I suppose. So the truth is that this, you know, the way with modern hygiene, this isn't necessarily as imperative as probably it was in those days. Women are anyway showering and they have pads, and it's probably less likely to be a problem. You know, the concern over here that the residual blood from her menstruation would cause ksamim is probably for us really not a very likely scenario. But yeah, I suppose just lemaisa Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, we try to avoid all forms of rechitza, even things that don't seem to be rechitza shel tainug. So if you could do it beforehand, in other words, she's totally, she's no longer bleeding and the like, why not do it earlier? I don't think, and likewise, if she showered in the morning, she's doing her hafsektara at 3 in the afternoon, I don't think she has to worry, especially if she hasn't been bleeding since she showered.
Could Rabbi address how,
there's two reasons. Number one is because you could end up making her a sura or being machmir when really it's mutter, meaning to say that we're not tola on certain tlios during the first 3 days, and therefore really this dam, she has a tlia, right? What's a tlia? Maybe this was blood that came before she did her hafsektara. But we won't rely on that tli, in which case she's going to end up being needlessly machmir, right? That remember we saw machlokas, sar chazara, right? There's a machlokas whether she could be tol on herself when she's in nida during the first 3 days.
By maka?
No, not maka. Tol on herself, on her being in nida. She sees a kasem, but she wore the same thing when she was in nida. So could she be tol on herself? Generally, we're not tol on the first 3 days, but maybe on herself is different because it's not from an external source. We saw machlokas haposkim about that question. So that's what I'm saying. If you hold that we're not tola, so then the reason to wash is because otherwise she could end up becoming a sura, despite the fact she has a tlia. And if you hold that we are tola, so we want to make sure we're not going to be incorrectly tola. In other words, let's say she didn't wash herself, and then she sees a kesem. And we could say, well, maybe this kesem came from blood beforehand because she didn't wash herself, but maybe it didn't. We don't want to be tola incorrectly, right? So I'm saying on both sides, for both reasons, you would want to wash.
The worst thing is that it's before the Zayinikim, that's the worst case scenario?
Both, I don't know what worst case scenario is. I'm just saying, both possibilities are bad. We don't want to, if you hold your Natola, so then she might really be okay, but we're going to have to be Machmir. And if you hold that you are Tola, she might actually not be okay, but we're going to be Tola. We're going to be inappropriately makel. To solve both of those problems, whether you hold you are Tola or whether you hold you're not Tola, it's a good idea to wash. One more time. Right? She goes ahead and let's imagine she didn't do this. Right? We're trying to figure out why do you do this. So let's imagine she didn't do this. She didn't wash herself. Right? So there's still dam in that area. And then she sees the kasa. Okay, we don't know, right? She discovers that dam on her body, on her clothing. Let's even say on her body, right? So would we go ahead and so now she started her shivanakim tonight of her first night of her shivanakim? She sees this patch of blood on her body. So what would the halacha be? So if you hold your natola during the first 3 days, then she would be asura, right? We would have to say, oh, you're so sure shivanakim, start again, right? But that's a terrible thing because in reality, this blood was from beforehand and we're incorrectly making her start again. Good, so that's a good reason to wash, right? Let's imagine the other possibility that you would be tola on yourself. So you could also imagine a scenario where there was new blood. She actually did bleed after her hafsektara. Once the shivanakim started, she started staining, right? But she's going to see this dam on her leg, and because she didn't wash herself beforehand, she's going to say, oh, this must be from beforehand, and I'll be mutter, when in fact she's asura. So what I'm just saying is that miman nefshach, this is a good idea to wash, because either will be inappropriately machmir or inappropriately mekel. That's all I was saying. Okay, I didn't mean to be confusing. Now, this question of washing brings up a very interesting question, which is, how far does this washing go, and is it possible that this washing will prevent the validity of the bedikah, the hafsek tara? Meaning to say, let's say she doesn't just wash her skin, her external skin, before doing her hafsek tara, but she actually internally washes, she douches, she cleans up that whole area. And she does that, and then immediately she does a hafsek tara, right after she cleans herself. Is that going to be a valid hafsek tara? Would we say, yeah, okay, l'maisa she had a good hafsek tara, so it's fine. Or would we say, no, maybe the only reason why that hafsek tara is valid is because she just cleaned herself internally right before she did the hafsek tara. And this would be a similar question to, could you do one hafsek tara right after another hafsek tara? A woman does hafsek tara, looks fishy, it looks questionable. She says, let me try again. And 10 seconds after her first hafsek tara, she does second hafsek tara. And it was good. Do we say that, well, that's not a valid hafsek tara, because since the first one sort of cleaned out all the blood, that's the only reason why the second one was good, or not? So the Chazon Ish, at the beginning of Siman Pei Aleph, is choshesh for this. He's choshesh that for hafsek tara right before one hafsek tara, or for internally cleaning herself right before hafsek tara. Now, it's a bit of a chiddush, because we don't find the earlier poskim, as far as I know, anybody before the Chazon Ish being concerned about this. So, if you disagreed with the Chazon Ish, so what would you say? How would you respond to his concern? So you could say one of two things. You could disagree with it in terms of mitzias, which is that if actually mayana sasam, so it's not shaykh to have a clean hafsek tara. In other words, assuming you do bedikas charon v'stakin as you're supposed to. So if she's still bleeding, if mayana pasuach, even though you clean out that area right before you do it, if mayana pasuach, then it will be a bad hafsek tara. Or you could disagree with him in terms of din, not just mitzias. Maybe you'll say that hafsek tara is not a vadai. Rather, we say that if she wasn't bleeding for one moment, we're assume that she stopped bleeding. And especially if you anyway assume hafsek tara is derabanan, they were only misakein that you have to do this, you have to do a bedika. Is a bedika a 100% certainty that she's not bleeding? Maybe not. Maybe not, because after all, as Tosus points out, even when she's menstruating, it's not like she's bleeding every second. So hafsek tara isn't vadai, but it's all that they were misakein. All that they said, you know, right, like we said, maybe mikra din, you don't even need hafsek tara. They were misakein that you have to do a bedika for hafsek tara. And maybe the reason is because, like we said, the Cheskas Mayana Pasuach is not a Chazaka Gemura. We don't expect her to, just because Mayana Pasuach, that it's going to remain Pasuach forever. So Mamela, this is good enough. And this is going to relate to the Lamdas of Bedikas Charon V'Stakein, which we'll get to hopefully in a couple of minutes. So anyway, so if those are the possible reasons to disagree with the Chazon Ish. Now, I saw a third reason to disagree with the Chazon Ish, but I don't think this is a good reason. It's in the Sefer Tara Kilchasa, page Shin Chavav, and he says that this Ramah, you have to wash yourself, is against the Chazon Ish. Right? Because if the Chazon Ish was right, how could the Ramah say you should wash yourself right before the Hafsek Tara? And he claimed that even the Chazon Ish only said his position in a particular case there. It's talking about an Isha Shishla Babu Osbe Makora, but it wouldn't actually, the Chazon Ish didn't mean to say that you couldn't clean Oso Makom right before or do one Bedika right before. Now, I don't think that the Ramah is really a problem for the Chazon Ish, because the Ramah is talking about an external washing. She's washing her skin. It doesn't mean necessarily that she's, you know, she's washing inside the vaginal canal, which is what the Chazon Ish is concerned about. So I don't know why the Ramah is necessarily an objection to the Chazon Ish. It also happens to be that according to the Ramah, you could be the Ramah would say you wash after the hafsek tara, right? The Rama writes, Shekshaisha posekes betara shetirchots veloveshes levanim. Who says you do it before? Maybe you do it after. The point is that you should wash before you put on your levanim. So that's what I'm saying. I don't think that the Rama would be a problem for the Chazon Ish. But nevertheless, I don't know about that.
Meaning, where it comes from before it's
changed? Yeah. I don't know if it's a raya for the Chazon Ish. I don't know if the Rama, but maybe, certainly not a kasha.
Not a raya, as much as like, may have a taste in it. Where did we get it from the
before? Okay, that's an interesting question. I mean, one reason why you might want to do it before is, again, because even if you was, either you'll do it before because you think, you want to make sure that the Hefsek Tara is good, and there's not old blood on Hefsek Tara, right? So that's why it's an Eitzah to do it before. Anyway, the Bari HaShulchan says that Lamaisa, the reason why you don't find this in all the earlier Sfarim, the Chazon Ish was the first one to make this point, is because women do a moch, like the Shulchan Aruch says they should. Okay, maybe that's even a reason for moch, right? Remember, we talked about why in the world is there a need to do a moch, unless it's if it's not Rasa Yom Rishon, and maybe there's one of the reasons. Now, it's still difficult, because Lamaisa, you know, we don't moch, like we said, it's not Mikra Din usually, and it's not something you have to do. And if the only reason why the concern of the Chazon Ish doesn't exist is because you use a moch, so then it should say something, right? And of course that raises another question, which is, why is it that, you know, if the Chazon Ish is right, you know, how long do I have to wait? Right? Which is not clear either. Happens to be that you could answer the kash of the Chazon Ish based off of another Chazon Ish. Obviously, the Chazon Ish didn't say this. But the Chazon Ish says in a different place that, that's in Tzadi Beis Chaf Aleph, that he writes that the reason why a bedika is effective is because when you touch, seemingly, when you touch the Psichas Pia Makor with a bedika cloth, if Mayana Pasuach, at least a drop of blood will leave. In other words, therefore, Bedika shows us Mayana Sasam, which would mean to say that even if you douche the entire area, she entirely cleaned out her area right before she did the Bedika, and she did the Bedika, assuming she's doing a proper Bedika, then if Mayana Pasuach, it would be a bad Bedika. Now, it could be that the Chazon Ish is reluctant to rely on that because maybe she won't succeed in doing a perfect Bedika till the Tzavar HaRechem, which, as we'll see, when we talk about that, is very likely that she won't. But that could possibly answer the problem. Anyway, Lamaisa the Poskim debate whether we should be Choshesh for this or not. Tarsa Bias is not Choshesh for this. Minastam Hefsika Malazov Dam. Rav Moshe is Choshesh. Rav Moshe is a Chupa Chelok Besim in Ein Aleph. He's Choshesh seemingly for 15 minutes. Wow, it's a lot of time, right? Ach techake zman katzar kereva sha'a be'erech v'lasos ha'bedika. Shevet HaLevi says, kama dakot, unless it's really close to Shkiyas HaChama, in which case you could be meikel. The Maril Diskin says, kama minutin. Rabbi Willig thinks, 5 minutes. How did he come up with 5 minutes? Rabbi Yasha said 5 to 10 minutes. So, okay. Well, we'll accept Rabbi Eliashev's lenient possibility, so 5 minutes. Rabbi Neuberger, I think, says 12 minutes. That's how he comes, it's his understanding of the Chazon Ish. Now, I think Halach Lamaisa, I think this is also the opinion of a number of poskim, including Rabbi Willig, we saw the Shevet HaLevi and the like, which is, L'chatchila, you should be Choshesh, so wait 5 minutes, or whatever, 10 minutes, between Bedikas. But if you're stuck, like, it's 1 minute before Shkia, then you could be so mechana mekilim, especially if you use a moch. For sure, you could be meiko. Lamaisa the Chazon Ish is a very big chiddush, and if there's no other option, you don't have to be choshish for it. But if it's easy enough to be machmir, you should be machmir. That's what we said before, that if we recommend women doing their hefsek tara about a half hour before shkia, if you do it a half hour before shkia, you have 3 tries within the half hour. You know, half hour before Shkia, then if it wasn't good, 15 minutes before Shkia, and then 30 seconds before Shkia. Now, in general, as an Eitzah, you don't want to do more than three bedikos in a half hour. Or if you do, you're taking a big risk, because any time, when you do a bedika, there's a natural, the body has a certain natural lubrication, and that's what prevents irritation. And when you do a bedika, it wipes out all that that lubrication, that moisture. And if you do one bedika after another bedika, then you're likely to cause irritation and possibly create a maka. And lamaisa, if you know, if let's say it's true that you do two bedikas and they're bad, and then you do a third bedika and it's good, you know, odds are that you'll strike out on the first day anyway. It's not like you're going to save yourself too much. So it's as an Eitzah not to be do so many bedikos, because you're likely to cause a problem, and it's not even likely to help long term. Okay. The Pisri Tshuva, Sivchat and Gimel, quotes a very fascinating Me'il Tzedaka. The Me'il Tzedaka says that it's a whole story over there about a woman, shows you why you shouldn't listen to your friends. They tell her she was so serious or shifinakiyim, and then she thought she was, and then her friends told her she had to wait 5 days, and after she did a new hafsek tara, and you don't have to wait 5 days. And anyway, so the pekitzer, what happened was, she thought that she was out of shifinakiyim, and in fact she was. So is that a problem? And this could happen all the time. A woman goes ahead, she has a kesem, she sees she has a bad bedika, she thinks that that's no way that's good, right? And so she gives up. And then she says, you know, maybe I should ask a shayla. And she does, and taka, she's okay. A lot of times people think asking shaylas are going to make things more machmir. I think more often than not, they make things more mako. So first of all, before we get into this whole pilpul in the Me'il Tzedaka, because of the Me'il Tzedaka's position, it's always good never to give up. In other words, if you have any type of shayla, so until you ask the shayla and the answer is it's a stira, then, you know, always assume maybe I'm still in Shevinikiyam, so as not to get into this problem. But the question is, what happens if she doesn't? What happens if she gives up? So, the Me'il Tzedaka has really two concerns for his chumrah. Number one is because of Sfira. We're going to talk a little later about V'safra L'Hashem V'Nekiyim, what exactly the Torah means by that. But he assumes that Safra means she has to have the awareness that she's during the Shev V'Nekiyim. So if she thinks she's not in Shev V'Nekiyim, then that's a problem. And number two is she might not pay attention. What's the idea? That if she doesn't think during Shev V'Nekiyim, because she knows she's in Yemei Nekiyim, she's going to pay very close attention to everything she sees, maybe there's Dam and the like, but if she doesn't think she's in Shev V'Nekiyim anymore, so she's not going to pay such close attention, and maybe there was something there, and she missed it. Those are the two reasons to be Machmir. The Oneg Yantif has a tshuva about this, I sent it into the Makorah sheets, and he has a rye against the Me'il Tzedaka from the fact that Rabbi Radam Balayla, remember that story? We had it way back. So he went ahead, he looked at a bedika cloth at night, he said it was bad, and then he looked at it in the morning again, he said, oh, it's good. So the Me'il Tzedaka was right, so then she should be, it's too bad, right? Because for those 8 hours or 10 hours intervening, she thought that she struck out. So it's not really a very good raya, because who says that's talking about Shev V'Nekiyim? So the Oneg Yantif assumes that, well, you know, if this wasn't true for Shev V'Nekiyim, the Gemara should have said so. But that's not such a strong raya. Maybe who says that was during Shev V'Nekiyim? That's...
She didn't even know about it. Yeah.
Who says she even knew about it? Maybe he didn't even tell her at night, right? Okay, that's one raya against the Me'il Tzedaka. Possible raya. The second, yeah.
I'm just confused because... Meal says that she has constant awareness for all 7 days, or
well,
every day needs to have a count.
That's correct. You could have said that, but that's not what the Mil Tzedakah says. Mil Tzedakah says if during any point of her Shiva Nekiyam she thinks she's not in the Shiva Nekiyam, that I don't know if it's a constant awareness. That's much more than I said. But it means that you can't. But you have to have a if you want to call it a subconscious awareness. You have to know you're in Shiva Nekiyam. But if you think you're not in Shiva Nekiyam, so then it's Chaser Nesfira. That's his chiddush. Now, another objection that the Chazon Ish has, it's Sadi Beis Yud Aleph, is what about the Gemara that says Chareshes? Right? The Gemara says that Chareshes, so how does she do Shiva Nekiyam? So Chavrosea Bot Kososa, because she doesn't have Das. Right? So she doesn't know she's in Shiva Nekiyam at all. She doesn't have Das. And yet we say that she could be Mekam Shiva Nekiyam due to the Bedikos of her friends. So obviously, if she doesn't have Das, she doesn't know what's going on. Moreover, the Sidrei Tara brings a riot and Kuf Tzadi base towards the end, that according to, we mentioned this opinion on Monday, according to the Raivid, the Ramban, the Rashba, by the Sugi of Dam Chimud, so you see over there, in that case, she didn't even know about the Halach of Dam Chimud. So they say she didn't need to do a Hafsik Tara, and she could get away with one Bedik at the end of Shiva Nekiyam. But most of the Shiva Nekiyam, she didn't know that she was even during Shiva Nekiyam. Yet it works. So what do you see? Clearly you don't need awareness like the Mil Tzedakah. However, the Rush over there says that it's not true. You can't have Shiva Nekiyam without Kavanah. As the Rush Taka sounds like the Mil Tzedakah, and that might be the way we paskin. It's actually unclear how we paskin. We'll get to that a little later. But the Sidrei Tara thinks that this question is going to be totally not Machlokas Rishonim. The question of the Mil Tzedakah is going to depend on whether you hold the Machlokas, the Ramban versus the Rush in terms of Dam Chimud. Another interesting thing that the Sidrei Tara says is like this. If you hold like Rav that you need only one Bedika during the Shiva Nekiyam, so he assumes that shows that Bedikos have nothing to do with Sfira and the like. You don't need a real Sfira. But if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, or if you hold even like Rabbi Chanina, that you need one at the beginning and one at the end, that implies that you need some type of Sfira. And that's De'oraisa. And therefore you need Kavanasa Vedaita. In other words, the Mil Tzedakah's view makes more sense than Rabbi Chanina. Not so clear. We'll talk about what Rabbi Chanina really holds in a couple of minutes. It's also unclear how we paskin. The mice of the Shulchan Aruch does paskin like Rabbi Chanina. Anyway, the Chazon Ish still rejects this, same Chazon Ish. He says, no. According to everybody, Lemaisa, we don't paskin that you need Sforin Lefanenu. Maybe that's Rabbi Akiva's view. But we don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva. Whether you're paskin like Rav or Rabbi Chanina, you don't need Sforin Lefanenu. And therefore, if you don't need Sforin Lefanenu, then there's no reason for the Chiddush of the Mil Tzedakah. And you don't have to be Choshesh for Shema Rasa, he says, like we saw. Because the Chareshes, Chavoseh Abot Kososa. So therefore, both of the concerns of the Chazon of the Mil Tzedakah don't apply. So how do we pass on the Maisa? Yeah.
Couldn't the Mil Tzedakah at the time of the Chaznisha at the Chareshes doesn't have Kavanah that she's Tmeya?
She doesn't have any Kavanah. So the Mil Tzedakah says you need Kavanah, you need awareness that you're during the Shiva Nekiyam. And the Chareshes doesn't have that.
So it just means that you can't have the Kumbasa, you can't have...
Could be. That's not what the Mil Tzedakah says. And also, why would you assume that? In other words, if you think you need the Kavana because of the Sfira, so you should need positive Kavana, not just lack of negative Kavana. And also, if the concern is that you're going to see Dam, so you should need positive, not lack of negative. Right? So it wouldn't really occur in terms of both of the concerns of the Mil Tzedakah, that wouldn't solve the problem. Yeah?
How do we deal with the Rush when the Rush closes no negative Sfira?
We'll talk about the Rush. Okay, well, we haven't, sort of going out of order, it's true. But we have to figure out what the Rush means. But the Rush doesn't necessarily mean what the Mil Tzedakah says, which is you have to have awareness during the entire period of 7 days. So, different poskim have different views in the matter. A number of poskim, among them, take a look at Rabbi Forst and Chelek Beis Siman 200, say that if you didn't go an entire day with the... we're not choshish in terms of the fact that there was dam that she didn't know about. right? That Meichel Teisi to be choshish for that. We're not choshish Shem Aras of Lava Daita. You see that from Chareshis and the like. But you can't go. We are choshish that you can't, because of the din of Sfurin, that you can't miss an entire day. However, if you didn't miss an entire day, let's say, I don't know, 5 minutes before Shkia, she has a bedika and she thinks it's bad. And then, let's give a different example, actually, a better example. Let's say 5 minutes after Nates, she does a bedika and she thinks it's bad. And the next afternoon, you know, her husband convinces her, let's go ask a shayla. And they go ask a question, and 5 minutes before Shkia, right, which is now, let's say, about 32 hours after she gave up, the rabbi says, no, that's actually a perfectly good bedika, or a tliya b'maka, or whatever it is, you're fine. So she gave up, right, for 32 hours, right, from 5 minutes after Nates on Tuesday till 5 minutes before Shki on Wednesday. But Lamaisa, part of Tuesday, right, the first, she had a sfira, even if you assume there's no sfira b'layla, we'll talk about that soon. But the first 5 minutes of Tuesday, before her bad bedika on Tuesday morning, she had awareness, so ki'ilu, there is sfira for Tuesday. And there's also sfira for Wednesday, right? There's also sfira for Wednesday, because 5 minutes before shkia, the rabbi told her it was fine. So lamaisa, she's fine, because she had sfira each one of the 7 days of her shivanikim, right? Because there was one time during each of the 7 days that she knew that it was during her shivanikim. And that's a kiyum sfira, and that's the way a number of poskim. That's interesting. Rabbi Willig says it's totally in 24 hours. If she gave up for 24 hours, it's a problem because of the lack of sfira based off of one of the concerns of the Milstaka. Now, I don't know why, I guess I should ask him this question, why he says it's totally in 24 hours. Really, it should be totally in a day of sfira, like I'm saying. It could be more than 24 hours. As long as each of the 7 days of Shivanakim, she had awareness that it was during her Shivanakim, that should be sufficient for the sfira, and that should be good enough. So that's a question we'll have to... That's where Willig, why he says 24 hours. I didn't understand that. Okay. Got it? Good. So we're going to accept one of the two concerns of the Meal Tzedakah, but only partially, is the answer. The concern with
Sfira...
He goes further. We're not going to fully accept. What does Sfira mean? Sfira
means...
Yeah. Sfira will require that... that she has some awareness of her being during the Shivanikim, each of the 7 days. That's what we'll hold. And that would be sufficient for Sfira. Now again, right now, we'll, in a couple of minutes, we're going to start talking about where this idea of Sfira comes from and what does it mean and the like. So hopefully when we study the Sugya Sfira, we'll understand why that would come from. But that's a partial acceptance of the Me'il Tzedakah, that you need some type of sphere each day, but that doesn't mean, but the Hesach Hadas doesn't take away from that sphere. Yeah?
What if the husband, let's say, like, he gave up hope, but,
she still has hope, it's certainly okay.
It's all, meaning, she thinks it's bad, so, and she says, you know what, fine, you can ask the Shiloh. And the shayla the husband, or is it like?
I think if she's asking a shayla,
like, this is totally bad. And then like later on, he decides, you know what, whatever, maybe I'll.
If they're still planning to ask a shayla, so obviously maybe they haven't given up hope. They might be pessimistic, but if you're planning to ask, it means you still think it's a question.
Does that have to be any like formal like decision?
No, you don't. If you're
not sure, like
giving up means giving up. You're done. You've given up. You're not starting again, right? So if you think, ah, this is probably bad, but let's ask a shayla anyway, you never know. So that's not giving up, right? Giving up would only be when you say it's no good, and you give up. And even then, we'll say it's only if it's 24 hours or if you've lost a full day. Yes?
There are the opinions that say that there is sphere of Belila, right?
We're going to talk about sphere of Belila, yeah.
And Ray Willig, it would be being Choshesh Das, so if you miss all 24 hours, then for sure you don't miss sphere.
No, not necessarily. I'll give you an example of 32 hours where you still had two spheres bayom. She gives up 5 minutes after Nate's and she of Tuesday, and she realizes things are good 5 minutes before Shkia on Wednesday. In that case, it's more than 24 hours, right? But she had two spheres bayom.
So I mean,
I didn't even want to get into the question of sphere Belila.
Anytime,
I thought what he meant is 24 hours from the time that she gave up till the time she finds she's out okay. That's what I thought he meant, but I don't really understand that position. So it could be that I misunderstood it, and that's why I would need to be Mavara. Yes?
Just to clarify something before, we're not defining the meal, it's not that the awareness that you have to have, it's just a lack of the negativity. You know, it's just a lack of not being familiar in the
The awareness you need to have is that you are in Shivanakiyam.
But you don't have to think that.
No.
Right?
That's correct.
So
well, if you're doing Bedikos, you're definitely thinking that, right?
Right. So let's say she goes a day without doing Bedikos.
But if you know, she goes a day without doing Bedikos, she's only going to do Bedikos on 1 in 7 for whatever reason. But she knows each and every one of these days that she's during Shiva, she is, right? She didn't have amnesia. She's wearing Levanim. Okay, even if she's not wearing Levanim. Saying she knows. I don't think you need a Hineni Muchan Mezuman. She knows that it's Shiva Nikim.
Yeah, I'm just saying that it seems to reduce eventually
just at any state in which you're not thinking that, you're not achieving it. I don't understand.
I mean,
usually
you're not doing anything positive.
Right. We paskin, you don't need to do anything positive. You don't need to count. We paskin. And we paskin that you don't need to do bedikos every day. So, but what you do need to do to be a kind of sphira is to have the awareness that you're during Shiva Nikim. And if you think that you're not in Shiva Nikim because you think you struck out, so then you lack that awareness. And if it's for an entire day, then due to that lack of awareness for the entire day, you'd have to start again. Because you need Ritzufin. It's also an interesting question if you need Ritzufin, but we'll get there. Okay? Good. Okay. So now we're ready for Sif Dalet. Which is how many bedikos and the like. But before we get there, we're going to introduce the topic of what is the purpose of bedikos during Shiva Nikim. And I think what we're going to do, even though it doesn't come up till a little later in the siman, but we'll do it now because it really relates to this question, is the role of Chorin Vistakin. So if you look at the Ravid, and again, these are all in the Makor suits I sent you. The Ravid writes that there are three types of bedikos. What are they? So number one, he writes, and they're in ascending order of better, worse to better. So the first is what he calls bedikas kinuach. And that's bedikas l'metzias hakasem l'shalosh nashim. That's basically wiping herself. Right? Remember we had the sugya, for example, in Siman Kuf Tzadi of Shalosh Nashim Sheishenos B'mita Achas V'nimtza Dam Aleha. So we said if one of them did a bedikah and it's okay, then the other two are no good. Or if one of them did a kinuach and it was not okay, then the other two are good. So we said over there, you don't need to do a bedikah. In fact, there might not even be enough time to do a bedikah. All you need is a kinuach. So that's a wipe. And that's only relevant, really, for that type of question. Simen Kofsadi. The second is Bedikas Beis Hachitzon, Umakom Shashamish Dash, the Bedika Lanidu, Lazava, and Hafsek Tar and the like. So the second one is Bedikas Beis Hachitzon, which penetrates all the way up, Makom Shashamish Dash, but does not have Chorin Vistakin. And the third is Bedikas Chorin Vistakin. So it doesn't just go straight in, but it goes all over the place, all the cracks and crevices. And the Ravid writes that that bedika is necessary for taros. The Gemara Daf Hey says this point exactly. Eid shelifnei hatashmish enu memayit kepkida. What does that mean? Remember the first Mishnah says that an ish is tamei l'mafreya mepkida l'pkida, meaning to say if she sees dam, she's tamei retroactively for purposes of taros until the last time she did a bedika. Let's say she did a bedika bifnei tashmish, so that's not memayit. Why? Because Isha Mehuma Levesa, she's very excited about Tashmish, and she's not going to do Chorin Vistakin. So the only types of Bedikos that are Memayit Mepkida Lepkida is if you did a Bedika B'Chorin Vistakin, right? In other words, let's say she sees Dam, 5 hours ago she did a Bedika Lefnei Tashmish, 10 hours ago she did a Bedika Chorin Vistakin, so then she's Temeya retroactively 10 hours. That's what the Gemara says. Now, what does that tell us? The Ravid says it tells us something very simple, which is that when it comes to taharos, then we require bedika chor v'stakin, which is more thorough. But when it comes to heter labal, then we don't require chor v'stakin, because it said that the bedika that you need to do kodim tashmish doesn't need to be chor v'stakin. Now, you didn't have to read the Gemara that way. Many Rishonim, take a look at Rashi, read the Gemara as mitol shuma levesa, because she's rushed, excited about tashmish, she's going to incorrectly do a lousy bedika. Right? But the Ravid, and we'll see even the Rashba who disagrees with the Ravid, agrees to this point. The Ravid says that she did a perfectly good bedika for that purpose. We're not talking, we're talking about women who observe the halacha. But labayla, you don't need chorin v'stakin, that's a special chumrah for taros. Right? Remember, we talked about this a little earlier. Is there such a thing as chumrah lataros? Why would there be such a thing as chumrah lataros? The Ravid over here seems to say that there's such a thing as a chumrah lataros. Right? And what is that? The bedikas chorin v'stakin. That's what the Ravid writes. He writes, then he says, yesh mi she'omer, that for bedika zava, you also need a bedikas chorin v'stakin. Maybe not. Umistabrak lishnakama, that you don't need chorin v'stakin, only for taros. And he says very interesting language. Mikaven shekilu al habedika, shafilu b'shnaim lenidas abadka atzma matza tahor, harei b'cheskas tahora, alma b'vdika koldu sagi. Very interesting. Since, even though that's talking about nida, not zava, but he extends it to zava as well. Since, we say that, let's say for Anita, she does a bedika on day 2 of the 7 days, it's good enough. So we're not so machmir. So memela, it would seem that you also shouldn't require chorin v'stakin. That's what the Ravid says. So the Balamor, right over there, Simon Gimelos Dalad, says, I don't know what he's talking about. Vani Omer, she'en b'zeh shum raya, she'en zeh kal shekilu b'vdika, alakalu shekilu achar bedika. That's not a kula that you need a lower level, less rigorous bedika. It means that when you did a perfectly good bedika, you don't need to do another bedika, because that bedika told us that she stopped bleeding as a good hasek tahor. We're not choshish for anything afterwards. Uliolam bedika yavibainan b'chol makom shetzricha bedika. And therefore, every time she needs a bedika in halacha, she needs to do a bedika yafa with chorin v'stakin. Right? In other words, why does a bedika work on day 2 of her 7 days? Because we don't say she's b'chezker surah tamid. So, apparently, the Ravid understood not that way. The Ravid said that, you see, we're not so concerned about dam, because if we were, we wouldn't say day 2 is good enough. So too, just like whatever we're not, whatever chash rachok chor and v'stakin is meant to avoid, wouldn't make sense. We were choshish for one thing and not for the other thing. That's what he says. Now, why is it that the Ravid would say this? That for taros you need chor and v'stakin, but not labayla. So one possibility is to say that, yeah, this is just a chumrah for taros. For taros, we're more machmir. Which is a little problematic because labayla is an isser karis, like we saw. It's an isser that's even more chamor. So Rabbi Kiva Eger, there's a very long Jewish Rabbi Kiva Eger about this that I sent you in your Makara sheets. He gives a different biur. He says the pshat is very simple. That what's the idea of Chorin V'Stakin versus, let's say, this Bedika without Chorin V'Stakin? Bedika without Chorin V'Stakin tells us one moment, one instant, right? She puts in her aid Bedika, as far as it'll go, she takes it right out, and that's it. So that tells me right now she isn't bleeding. And that is all you need, Labayla. Because for Baila, we just need to know she's not bleeding now. For Tyrus, we want to do something else. What does the idea of the Chorin V'Stakin do? It takes you back. It tells me that she's not just bleeding now, but she wasn't bleeding 5 minutes ago or 10 minutes ago or sometime beforehand. Because what the Chorin V'Stakin does for you is it tries to capture blood that may have come out a while ago, right? So for Baila, we don't need that. Let's say for the Hefsek Tara that she's doing. As long as we know she stopped, we're going to assume she's done. And then during the Shivanakiyam, we just check, maybe for purposes of Sphira or for some other purpose, that this is true. For Taros, we're trying to be machzik her to Tahira Lemafreya. And therefore, it makes sense that we would try to, as it were, go backwards in time by doing Chorin V'Stakin. And that's why at least that's what the Ravid would hold, why you would say that Labayla, she doesn't need Chorin V'Stakin, but for Taros, she would. Now, the Rashba vigorously disagrees with this Ravid, and he holds that you need Chorin V'Stakin both whenever you need a Bedika, in other words, whether it's for Hafsek Tara or Bediko Shivanakiyam. Right, we don't hold to the Ravid. L'chora, we don't paskin at all like the Ravid, though the Notabi who that's quoted in the Pesach Tshuva Sifkat and Tess argues that many Rishonim are Mako. The Rambam and the Rif, he claims, don't need Chorin V'Stakin, and he's medayik that because in a number of places we mention Kinuach, the word Kinuach when we really require Bedika, which makes more sense for the Ravid. And Notabi Yehuda isn't Somech on it for Hafsek Tara, but he says, well, you could be Somech on the view of the Ramban, perhaps, under certain circumstances. Now, what does the Ramban hold? The Ramban is like a Pshara. Ramban holds that you need Chorin V'Stakin for Hafsek Tara, but you don't need Chorin V'Stakin for Shivanakiyam. He writes, ulefi asvara yesh lachria shebedikas hafsaka shehimalo sa mituma latara, very important lashon, the Hafsek Tara that takes her from Tuma Tahara. Now, what does it mean, takes her to Tahara? She doesn't become Tahora after her Hafsek Tara, right? You need to go to the mikvah. But what it means, I assume, is she's going from a Chezkas Roa to a Chezkas Sheino Roa. The purpose of the Hafsek Tara is to tell us that she stopped bleeding. That's what he means. It's Malo Sami Tumas Tuma Latara. Now she has a Chezkas Sheino Roa Dam. Umotzao Sami Chazaka La Chazaka. So since you're trying to undermine a Chazaka, so then which is with Chorin V'Stakin. Aval, Bedika Sashiva, Kevan Shekvar Paska, Lahamida Bechezka, Bechezkasa Bevdika, called in Usagia. But what about the Bedika of Shivanakiyam? So those aren't meant to reverse her Chazaka. What's the purpose over there? Right? She already was Posakas. Right? What are the purposes over there? It's lahamida bechezkasa. Lahamida bechezkasa. So then, bivdika called the husagya. So, it sounds like that the purpose is something else, right? According to Ramban, bidikos of Hafsek Tara, the bidika of Hafsek Tara is doing something different than the bidikos of Shivanakiyam. Bidika of Hafsek Tara is to reverse the chazaka, right? Motzio same chazaka la chazaka, as opposed to the bedika shivanakiyam is lamida bechazaka. Okay, keep that in mind. That's going to be very important for us in terms of understanding the goal of the bedikos. And as I mentioned, the Rashba disagrees, and he writes that there's no difference, and you always need Chorin V'Stakin. And the question is, which point does he disagree with? Is it just because he thinks that Chorin V'Stakhin is not a bedika at all, it's kinuach? Or is it also because he has a different understanding of the purpose of bediko shevinikim? He thinks that the goal of the bediko shevinikim is also lahotziya mechas kasa. That's gufa why you have to keep on doing bedikos even after the hafsek tara. Because the hafsek tara doesn't totally change your chazaka. You need to further establish that she's no longer bleeding through the bedikos of the shevinikim. So the truth is, I think the Rashba makes both points. I'll read you the Lashon of the Rashba. Gam Zeinu Maspek, the Ramban's Pshat is incorrect. Ladati dekevan she'afa tamatzricha bedika b'yemei svira, o betchila o besofa, o shema bekulam, lemarkadisle. Again, there are different opinions how many bedikos you have to do during Shevin Akiyim, but you have to do some bedikos. Ve'im lo badka klal, arehi bechez kastuma. Wow. So that seems to be saying that I disagree with what the Hefsek Tara accomplishes. Right? The Ramban said this Lashon that after the Hefsek Tara, she's Bechezkas Tahora, right? Umotzia, the Lashon of the Ramban was Umotzia Osami Chazaka, sorry, Mala Osami Tumalatara, right? She's Bechezkas Tahora, which again doesn't mean Torah literally, but she's Bechezkas Shenifsaka Dam. And the Rashba says, no, it's not true. The fact that you need bedikos during Shevet Nekiyim shows me that we're concerned she's still bleeding. In other words, it's not true. Imlo badka rei b'cheskas tuma. So if that's true, so memela, you need to do more bedikos. You need to do proper bedikos. You need chorin v'stakhin. I sort of he's saying, I agree with you, Ramban, that if you're trying to undermine a chazaka, you need chorin v'stakhin. And I think that the purpose of the bedikos Shevet Nekiyim is also to undermine that cheskas tuma. Af ata matzricha bedika b'chol makom she mitama bo. Dema huilav zu b'chati bedika im ata choshesh laf al bishav zika tara zilchus b'chol mistaken v'chulei v'chulei. And then he writes that v'od de bedika z'chol mistaken she nikri bedika aval bedika acheres ena nikri bedika. There is no other bedika, right? There's no mid-level bedika like the Ramban is claiming. You know, there's a good bedika, that's chorin v'stakhin, and then there's like a, you know, low-level bedika. No. Bedika means chorin v'stakhin. Anything less than chorin v'stakhin is kinuach, and he tries to prove that from a number of gemaras. So Bekitzer, seems like the Ramban and the Rashba are disagreeing about two points, basically. Number one, whether hafsek tara is effective lahotzia mechazkas tuma lechazkas tara to prove that she stopped bleeding. This goes back to the point that we said before. Maybe a hafsek tara doesn't actually prove that, right? And number two is there such a thing? You know, is a bedika with achor mistak and a bedika at all? Those are the two points. Now, I think we could have a couple of different havanos, just in the machlokas, between the Rashba, Ramban, and the Ravid. One way to understand this is that the Ravid holds that from the fact that, let's say, Anita could be posekas biyom sheni shalah, so that shows that she's not b'cheskas roa, right? Like Tosas says in Gittin, Tosas famously says in Gittin, that why is it that a woman is believed? After all, we know, generally speaking, that we don't apply Erechanem and Bisurin against the Chazaka. And his answer is that it's not going against the Chazaka. In terms of going to the mikveh, that's biyada. And in terms of stopping to bleed, so we don't expect her to bleed forever. That's basically the view of the Ravid. In other words, the view of the Ravid is that for Hafsek Tara also, in a certain sense, isn't really going against the Chazaka. Right? That's an araya. That's why we'll say even a bedika on the second day works. Right? Because we don't expect her to bleed forever. So if she stops on day two and she does a hafsek tara day two, that's good enough. And likewise, that's why you don't need a bedika chorin v'stakhin even for hafsek tara. And then the next view is the Ramban. Ramban says no. until she does a hefsek tara, she really has a cheskas roa. But once she does her cheskas tara, and you do it with chor and v'stakin, so then she's not b'cheskas roa. And then you need bedikos during shivin nekiyim, but that's for some other purpose. What's that? L'hamid al cheskasa. Now, what does that mean? Maybe it's because of sfira. Maybe that's what the chiv of sfira means, to be ma'amid osa b'cheskasa, meaning to say that the purpose of sfira shivin nekiyim is not just to rely on the chazaka established by the hefsek tara, but to actively verify it in a more definitive way. Right? Yes, the hefsek tara sets up a chazka she'eno roa. Right? Sets up the chazaka she's not going to see anymore. But the chiddush of sfira is saying, don't just rely on chazaka, go ahead and verify that. That's the chiddush of sfira, otherwise you don't need sfira. She could just say that after 7 days she goes to the mikvah. Sfira says you have to don't rely just on chazaka. Right? And that might make sense, by the way, from his position by Dam Chimud. He holds that Dam Chimud doesn't need to have siktara. Why? Because since Eino Ela Ma'at, so clearly there's no need for hefsek tara. In other words, she isn't b'cheskas roa. Usually a woman becomes a nida, she's roa dam, she's b'cheskas roa. Dam chimut, which is enu elamat, does not create a cheskas ma'ana pasuach. Mamele, you don't need hefsek tara. But he holds you still need b'diko shivinakim. Right? Now what's the logic of requiring shivinakim? B'diko shivinakim, but not a hefsek tara. Well, if you say like we're saying, it's very simple. Because if b'dika shivinakim, let's say, again for now, has something to do with sfira, so makes sense why even in a case where you don't need to have siktara, because cheskas mayana sasam, but you'll still need b'dika shivinakim. Right? Or to put it a little differently, the purpose of the b'dika shivinakim is to be machzik u'mevarer, even in a place where there's no chash batzem. Right? So there's no chash batzim in a normal case once you do the hefsek tara, and in the case of the dam chimud, there's no chash batzim at all. But still, you need some type of further birur. That's what we learn out from sfira. I'll have to see if this works with. That would be very nice with the idea of the notary huda of what the safra means. I'm not sure it works well with what the Ramban himself says in his Perashat Torah. We'll get back to that. So that's one way to understand it, and then we could say a third option. This is, by the way, similar to, if you remember, we said what the Chazon Ish said by the Zichron Yosef, that even if you're going to say that the Zichron Yosef, that works in place of a Hefsek Tara, but it won't work in place of Shivin Akiyam, right? Because Hefsek Tara is just to know she stopped. So the Zichron Yosef could work for that. But for Shivin Akim, you might need actual bedikos, right? Similar type of idea. Fine. And then the third view is the Rashba. The Rashba writes that the Hefsek Tara does not succeed in being Maimed Osa B'cheskas Sheino Roa. That's accomplished by the Hefsek Tara in conjunction with the bediko Shivin Akim. Now, it's interesting, because in the Torah Sabayis, he mentioned Sfira in the context of Shivin Akiyam. He writes, Isha Shefrisha Batara Biyom Shepasko Damim Shelotzricha Livdok Atzma Kol Shiva Yemei Sfira Sheyus Furin Bevdika Lefanenu. In the Chidushim, he doesn't mention that. In the Chidushim that we just read, it sounds like the purpose is really Lahachzika, to sort of verify, to strengthen the Hefsek Tara. Could be both. It's interesting. If you look at the lesson in the Mishmeres Sabayis, this is in by Zion Shar Hay, he writes, "B'emes kach nir min adas, d'anan la sfurin lefanenu ba'inan k'rbi Akiva k'rbi Yeshua, ela shetifzor tisbor shiva mochzakin b'tara." Right? Now, there's according to Rabbi Akiva, you need sfurin lefanenu. According to Rabbi Lazar, which way we pass, and you don't need sfurin, only medin chazaka. Anyway, if this is true, the Rashba would be l'shitaso by Dam Chimud. Why? Because by Dam Chimud, he writes that since there's no Chezkas Mayana Pasuach, she doesn't need Bedikas Hafsik Tara, and she also doesn't need Bedikas Shevinakim at all. Right? He writes, Kol Shel Ragisha B'dam Toch Shevinakim Karinan Behu. Right? So this is l'shitaso. In other words, what's the Rashba writing? The Rashba writes that the purpose of the Bediko Shivanikim is to be machzik the Hefsik Tara. So if you're not going to require Hefsik Tara because you don't think Mayana Pasuach, so Mamela, you shouldn't need a Bediko Shivanikim. So it's Mamish, the Rashba Lashitaso. It works very nicely. Right? And that's what he writes in the Chidushim and Tzalach Vav Amid Aleph. Kol Shelo Yergisha B'toch B'dam B'toch Shiva Nekiyim Karina Lahu. In the Tarsabaisa Arach, he says it even more clearly. In rejecting the position of the Ramban, who says you don't need a Hefsek Tara, but you do need Shiva Nekiyim, he writes, Im Asinu Osakira De'alma, Afi Tzvich Hefsek Tara, Vim Eina Tzvich Hefsek Tara, Ukevade Hefsika Tara, Mash Visla, Hol Ve'enan El Asafik Be'alma, Af Anu Nomer Shibachezkas Tara Kol Shiva. Right? In other words, the Rashba says, I don't understand the Ramban's view. The Ramban said she doesn't for chimud, she doesn't need hafsek tara, but she doesn't need bedikas shivanikim. He said, I don't understand. Either you're going to be mashvis lakirawa, or you're not going to be mashvis lakirawa, right? But according to the pshat we said in the Ramban, it's not a kash at all because they're coming to do two totally separate things, right? The Ramban says that the purpose of hafsek tara is to tell us she stopped bleeding. You don't need to do that for chimud because it's so little anyway. And then the purpose of the bedikos of Shivanakiyam is some type of sfira type of halacha, in which case, even though we know she wasn't bleeding, she stopped bleeding, you still need it anyway. And the Rashba says, no, I don't understand what he's talking about. Because since the whole purpose of the bedikos Shivanakiyam is simply to be machzik the chezkas tara, that was, you know, to cement, to prove, to verify the hefsek tara. So if you don't need hefsek tara, kal vachomer, you won't need shivanakim. Right? So again, we have this machlokas with the goal to do two different things. Right? In other words, to put it a little differently, what's the halacha in a case where vade hefsika? Do you also need Bedika Shivanakiyam? Right? The Ramban says yes. The Rashba says no. You have another place, by the way, according to the Ravid, for Dam Tohar, you don't need a Hefsek Tara, but you need Bedikos. According to the Ravid, you need both of them. That might also be relevant. Anyway, so here we have a Machlokas, basically. One way to understand the Machlokas between the Rashba and the Ramban is whether once you do the Hefsek Tara, does she become Bechezkas Tahara? Once you do the Hefsek Tara, does she become Bechezkas Tahara or not? That's the first Tavana we're going to suggest. It happens to be that some claim this is also Machlokas Rashi and Tosos. This isn't so Machrach, but I'll mention it to you anyway because it's a very famous Note of Yehuda who says this. The Note of Yehuda doesn't tie this into the Machlokas Rashba Ramban. He just said that there's a Machlokas between Rashi and Tosus about that. The context of the Gemara, it's a Machlokas in Zvachim on Chav Tes Amud Aleph. The context of the Gemara over there is trying to prove that Pigol is Chal al Yidei Machshava. Right? Because when you read the Psukim in the Torah, it sort of sounds like, right? If you don't eat the Karba until the third day, and you eat it, then it's Pigol, what we call Nosar. So the Gemara says, no, that can't be, because when you brought the carbon, you were Yotze. So how could it be that then you wait 3 days and retroactively your mitzvah disappears? Right? Kav sein zakukla. It's Chanukah. Working in Zamech. So that's the Gemara's question. So Rabbi Akiva says, that's not a good raya, because we know by Zava that she's so seres, her minion lamafraya. So too, maybe if Taka, if you don't eat the carb, if you eat the carbon on the third day, it's so ser the kiyum lemafraya. That's Rabbi Kiva's shaila. So what does that mean? So Rashi explains, like she's so ser like on the fifth day, right? On the fourth or fifth day. Interesting shaila is four, significant. Does that imply significance to 1, 2, and 3, where my ana pasuach more? Something to think about. So she sows eros on the fourth or fifth day. That's what Rashi says. So Tosfos says, that's not a stira, right? He rejects Rashi. That's not a stira, lemafreya, because she's not yet b'cheskas Torah. It's only when she went to the mikvah on her seventh day, and then she sees down after she went to the mikvah, she's so serious. That's a true lemafreya halacha, right? That's the way. That's the opinion of Tosfos. So, what's the pshat in the machlokas? So the Note of Yudah says that's exactly what they're arguing about. Rashi holds, like Ramban, that she's b'cheskas tahira after the hefsek tara. So if she's so seres her during the seventh day, during the fifth day, so that's considered a stira l'mafreya, right? Tosfos holds like the Rashba that nothing really happened, nothing really changed with the hefsek tara, and the only time you could have a true stira l'mafreya by Shivanakiyam is if she's so seres after she goes to the mikvah. Now, it's not really mochrach, because everybody agrees that she's not actually tahora until she goes to the mikvah. But still, what the Note of Yudah is claiming is that you see from here that Rashi holds her, there's a change in status, though obviously she's not muteris with hefsek tara, which would correspond to the view of the Ramban, according to our analysis. And Tosfos is disagreeing. Okay. So that is one way to understand the Machlokas, again, Ramban and Rashba. Another possible way of understanding it is based off of the Chavos Das, Kuf Pei Zayin, Sif Katan Hei, who brings a Raya from the Ramban that after Hefsek Tara, she's Bechezka She'eno Roa. Even though we paskin like the Rashba. It's late, so we're not going to go into that. But could be, without getting into the details, that that there's another, the Chavos Das is another way of understanding it. I think that our Mahalich is right, because you could prove it from their same Machlokas by Dam Chimud, and the kashas that the Rashba asks on the Ramban by Chimud. You see that there, our explanation of the Machlokas by Hefsek Tara is the same thing. Okay, I guess, let me take your question. Yeah.
There's a steer in the Ramban, and the hope is mean that because he says you do it, or stuck him, just say anything, and then at the end he says,
Yeah, it's not really a stira. The pshat is that the Ramban wrote, if you look, that he wrote that in the Kitzer Parak, where he like tells you all the dinim, the Kitzer, and the like. It's like, you know, like we said by the Rush, when you write a Kitzer Sefer, you have to be machmir. I think that this is what he thinks is really Mikra Din, but in the Kitzer Sefer, he's machmir. Otherwise, you're right, there's a stira. Right, that's what I'm saying. Mikra Adini's mutter, Mako. And that's why in the halachos, in the parak and hilchos nida, in his halachos where he's mairech, he's Mako. And in the chidushim, he's Mako. And in the place that he's machmir is in when he quotes all the dinim b'kitzer.
And at the end, he says, don't be Mako as a writer, but he doesn't say to be Mako like himself. He's implying...
I don't think that implies that, no. He's saying don't be Mako like the Ravid. He doesn't say you have to go all the way as far as the Rashba.
So why does he think it? Because
that's what
it did. For the Rashba?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it wasn't the Rashba, the Rashba,
whatever,
but
the
yes,
Sara.
Yeah. Okay. In other words, I think that's why he's machmir and a kitzer sefer. Mikra Adin, he's meiko. Right. He thinks that the Baal Nefesh should be machmir. He acknowledges it's not so pashut, right? So there's an episode of chumrah, and that's why in the kitzer sefer he's machmir. But whenever he's mairech, Mikra Adin, he thinks that the halacha is lahakel. Okay. We are out of time, so I guess next time we're going to continue our discussion of the purpose of Bediko Shivanakiyam with the view of the Rush, which we already alluded to a little bit, and other Rishonim and Achronim in terms of this question of the purpose of Bedikos. Then we're going to turn on to the question of how many Bedikos you need to do, and the like. So that will be Monday. No. I suppose my hope is we'll finish by the end of next week in terms of shiur. Can't guarantee anything. Still a lot to do. But that's my hope. But anyway, already starting next week, hopefully most of you have started Chazara. Okay? Okay, Freilich and Chanukah.